Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning, everyone. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Happy New Year. Today, it's our end-of-year news quiz. Were you paying attention in 2011? But it's also our one-day end-of-year fundraiser for WNYC, so we'll get to the news quiz in just a minute. And if you think you were paying attention this year and can get three questions in a row right and win a prize from the Brian Lehrer Show, you can get in line right now, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And as your calls are coming in, I'll just take a minute right at the beginning of the show here to thank everybody for your support for public radio in 2011 and say this is our one-day end-of-year fundraiser for WNYC. So as you make your end-of-year contributions to not-for-profits, we're asking you today to remember WNYC. And, of course, we make it easy by setting up our website and our pledge drive phone bank for just this one day, December 28th, at 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or pledge online at WNYC.org. So if you want to be a member for 2012, take this opportunity to make a pledge of any amount, or if you want to make an extra contribution above the membership that you already have, we really appreciate that small extra gift for the end of the year as you're figuring out your donations list. So call right now if you want to support the station as you're making your end of year donations list, 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or pledge online at WNYC.org. We're doing this today only as a one-day end-of-the-year fundraiser, and thank you so much. And it is our end-of-the-year news quiz. Were you paying attention in 2011? Get in line if you want to play. All our lines are full, so be ready as people finish up to call 212-433-WNYC. Get three in a row right, and today you'll win a WNYC EcoTote, the environmentally friendly way to carry around your stuff. And I'm delighted to have, as our quiz master for this portion of the news quiz, star of TV, academia, and political commentary, Tulane University, and former Princeton professor, Melissa Harris-Perry, also a regular contributor to MSNBC on television. Happy New Year, Professor Perry. Thanks for doing this with us. Hello.
Oh, absolutely, Brian. Yes, Happy New Year. It's going to be a really fascinating one for all of us political junkies.
So. I'm sure it will. And you moved this year, right? A big change from Princeton, New Jersey to New Orleans, Louisiana, right?
That's right. I'm now living in New Orleans, teaching at Tulane, and enjoying all of the bizarre and wonderful aspects of living in New Orleans, including getting a grapefruit tree as my holiday gift, which is pretty great because I can actually grow grapefruit in my own front yard, which is fantastic.
Great. And I misspoke here a moment ago, and you never want to make things harder than they have to be. I said three in a row. We're actually making it two in a row. Because some of these take a little bit of time, and we just want to make sure we give away enough eco-totes to make it worth people's while. It is the, you know, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa season, so gifts as well as prizes for displays of skill. And we begin with Arthur in the Bronx. Arthur, you there?
I am. Hey, Brian.
Happy New Year, Arthur. You ready for a news quiz question?
I am ready.
From Melissa Harris-Perry. You got it?
Okay. So in a November debate, Republican candidate Rick Perry experienced a brain freeze. So I hope you will not experience one on this question. So here's the brain freeze that that Governor Perry experienced.
And I will tell you, it's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the what's the third one there? Let's see.
Oh, yeah, that third department that Perry was trying to remember that he would eliminate. And because this is the first question, we're going to make it really easy, Arthur, by giving you a multiple choice. Do you need the multiple choice?
No, it's the Department of Energy.
Very good.
Arthur was paying attention in 2011. So we go on to the second question, Melissa. Go.
All right, now this one's even more straightforward. Herman Cain, the former front runner for the GOP presidential nomination, is also the former CEO of what pizza chain?
Godfather Pizza.
That's right. You got it. Cain took over Godfather's Pizza back in 1986 and remained there until 1995.
That is one of the easiest questions in the whole lot. And so two in a row, right? And Arthur in the Bronx, you win a WNYC Eco Tote.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Thanks a lot. Now hang on, because we're going to get your address so we can mail this to you. So hang on. And it's funny, Melissa, about that Energy Department gaffe by Rick Perry. Remember, during it, Ron Paul, Mitt Romney, and moderator John Harwood were all trying to help him. Perry said later,
he suggested all kinds of aspects of the government that should perhaps be eliminated.
Right. Let's see. At one point, Perry stumbled. He said, somebody asked him, was it the EPA? And he said, well, yeah, it wasn't the EPA. I'd make changes to the EPA. Don't get me wrong. So,
and then they suggested maybe education. Oh, no, actually, I guess he'd already said education. So they kept suggesting various aspects of the federal government that could be eliminated. It was actually sort of horrifying to listen to the sense of all of the things that that the moderator and other candidates thought we could just do without.
So I always thought he got a little bit of a raw deal there because, he just forgot something from his list. Doesn't necessarily mean he didn't know what he was talking about. But anyway, let's go on to another contestant. Ben in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ben.
Yes, good morning, Brian. What happened to Arthur's championship flourish at the end? Isn't that that's the reason I called.
You want to hear the championship flourish? I don't know. Maybe we failed to queue up. Yeah, we're gonna queue up. We're a little late to the championship flourish production.
I'll give it my best shot.
Okay. Melissa Harris-Perry, go ahead with question three.
Okay, so this is a particularly big question for me as a woman living in New Orleans with our quarterback, Drew Brees. And this is another straightforward question. What number did Cain utter 48 times during the October 11th GOP debate? It is also the number of quarterback Drew Brees, the best quarterback of all time here in New Orleans.
Our quarterback? You're living there 3 months, and he's our quarterback,
Drew
Brees?
I've been here almost 6 years on and off.
Gosh, you were living in New Jersey at Princeton for how long before?
No. I've been living halftime in New Orleans for 6 years since the storm.
Okay.
He's my quarterback.
Okay. All right. I'll take Manning and Sanchez any day. But Ben, go ahead.
I'm not a sports fan, but you couldn't see Herman Cain without catching him utter the number 9 three times.
That's it. 9 over and over and over again.
In fact, this was the same debate in which Michelle Bachmann said this about 999.
When you take the 999 plan and you turn it upside down, I think the devil's in the details.
So there you go. And then Cain said something on your network, right? You have that note?
He did. In fact, he said, a family of four making $50,000 a year are still going to have some money left over. That's what he said about his 999 plan.
The next day.
But you know, in fact, if you want higher taxes and permanently bigger government, you know, one of the ways to get there would, in fact, be to support the 999 plan. It actually would have been a tax increase for that family of four.
A moot point now. So, Ben, you get a second question. And the question is, Melissa.
So this one takes us to international politics. So how many days between the first protests in Tahrir Square and the resignation of Hosni Mubarak? And I have some multiple choice here for you. Is it 6 days, 18 days, 37 days, or 58 days between those first protests and the resignation of Mubarak?
Could you repeat the very last one option?
Sure. So it's 6, 18, 37, or 58.
How many days between the first protests in Tahrir Square and the resignation of Hosni Mubarak?
It was definitely more than a month, and I'm trying to think if it was as much as the number 58. I'll go with the highest number.
The highest number, unfortunately, is wrong. And, Ben, you don't get your Brian Lehrer Show flourish.
All right, great show all year. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call. Anna in the Bronx. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Brian.
You get a shot at that same question before we retire it. Did you hear it?
I did, but could you repeat the numbers again, please?
Six days. Go ahead, Melissa. Sorry.
Yeah, sure. The numbers are 6 days, 18 days, 37, or 58.
Well, I'm going to go with 37.
And unfortunately, Anna, you don't get the flourish either. Thank you for playing, and thank you so much for listening this year. It was only 18 days. Incredible.
It was pretty stunning for me to, as we were preparing for this, to remember that it was so brief, really just over 2 weeks. It was on February 1st that Mubarak gave a speech recounting his service to the country and saying that Egypt is the country I've lived in, defended and fought for, and while I will die on its land and history will judge us for and what is against us. But he left after just 18 days of protests.
And for better or for worse, we're seeing now how that actually turned out to be the easy part in Egypt, and they're still sorting out what comes next.
Indeed.
All right. Linnell in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Happy New Year, Linnell.
Happy New Year.
Ready for news quiz question?
Yes.
Melissa, hit her.
Okay. So this one combines a little bit of international and domestic politics. In May, Dominique Strauss-Kahn was arrested under suspicion of sexual assault at New York's $3,000 a night Sofitel hotel. What was the French politician's job at the time, the job from which he ended up resigning in the wake of the scandal?
He was the chief of the IMF, International Monetary Fund, I think it's called.
That is right.
That is absolutely correct.
He was hoping to become the next
president of France.
Absolutely. So, all right, next question, Melissa.
All right, next question is a little closer to home. It's about Michael Bloomberg, who said this in November.
It's fun and it's cathartic. It's, I don't know, it's entertaining to go and to blame people and look to the past, but it doesn't do anything for the future.
Was New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg talking about there when he said it's fun, it's cathartic, it's entertaining to go and blame people, to look to the past, but it doesn't do anything to look to the future? What was he referring to?
Gosh, I'm not.
And I thought this was an easy one.
Yeah, I can really hear the what he was saying. The quote is, can you say the quote again?
Yeah, sure. He was saying it's fun and it's cathartic. I don't know. I guess it's entertaining to go and to blame people and to look to the past, but it doesn't do anything to look to the future. And Mayor Bloomberg said this in November. What was he talking about?
Ten seconds. Five seconds. Take a wild guess.
The election.
Sorry, Linnell. All right, stay tuned for the answer. Thanks for trying. Ben in Manhattan, did you hear the question and the clip?
I did. Yes, I did, and I believe I know the answer.
And it is?
He was referring to Occupy Wall Street.
He sure was.
Oh, great.
And I guess it could mislead somebody when they hear him say that it was about looking to the past, because that's certainly not what the occupiers thought they were doing, but of course they wanted people on Wall Street held accountable.
Agreed. Right.
So that was the mayor's take on it.
Absolutely. And remember, the mayor maintained that it was really Congress rather than the banks that was responsible for the mortgage crisis. So this was part of his sense that that they were basically targeting the wrong group of people.
And right. By contrast, one of Bloomberg's predecessors, former Mayor Ed Koch, said, there's something wrong with a kid who steals a bike going to jail and someone who steals millions paying a fine. Anyway, all right, next question. Maybe Ben will be our next EcoTote winner.
I hope to. Let's see. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
So this is going to go quite back to the beginning of the year. Okay. In January's State of the Union address, President Obama unveiled a new catchphrase. And here's the catchphrase.
May have broken the back of this recession, but to win the future, we'll need to take
on
challenges.
That's how our people will prosper.
That's how we'll win the future. Crucial to America's success. But if we want to win the future,
and
so
go ahead.
So in January, President Obama unveils his catchphrase where he's talking about winning the future, win the future, win the future, win the future. But I'll tell you, we haven't heard that catchphrase much anymore, perhaps because it turns out there's now a major Republican candidate for president who wrote a book called Winning the Future back in 2005. What Republican candidate wrote the book Winning the Future back in 2005?
I believe that is former Speaker Newt Gingrich.
There's the flourish.
Very nice.
Just one winner late. And sure, Gingrich, of course, has written all kinds of books with titles like that. A very Gingrichy kind of title. You would have thought, Melissa, that the White House would have researched that with Gingrich about to run for president. But in the book, the former speaker lays out his remedies for terrorism, what he calls godlessness, flagging patriotism, too much spending and not enough math and science education. And the hardcover back in 2005 sold about 70,000 copies.
Wow.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And you know, he's written many of these kinds of texts. And if we compare it, for example, to Governor Perry's Fed Up, you know, which it would be very hard to imagine President Obama having used as a flourish in his own State of the Union. You know, Winning the Future is there. And now we have both President Obama with Win the Future and potentially his opponent in the general election with Winning the Future.
That's
so
right.
We'll see who, in fact, wins in the future.
Of course, Gingrich did not write a book called Winning the Iowa Caucuses. So nothing is guaranteed there. Ben, hang on. We're going to put you on. We'll get your address. Congratulations. And we'll send you a WNYC Eco Tote. Brian Lehrer with Melissa Harris-Perry. It's our end of the year news quiz. Were you paying attention? In 2011, 212-433-WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and today it is our annual end-of-year news quiz. Were you paying attention in 2011? We have with us for the remainder of this hour our guest quiz master for today, Tulane University professor and MSNBC contributor, Melissa Harris-Perry. Melissa, thanks again for doing this.
Absolutely thrilled to do it.
And let's see who our next contestant is. Hanging on for a whole long time here. Jay in Lower Manhattan. Hi, Jay. Happy New Year.
Yay. Happy New Year to you, Brian.
All right.
I just wanted to say, in reference to Win the Future,
yes.
Wouldn't you know that it would be Newt Gingrich to come up with a best-case scenario with the initials WTF, and that Obama would plagiarize it, and that Sarah Palin, in a surreal moment of brilliance, pointed that out. Anyway.
There you go. And where was Mark Maron when we really needed him?
Just saying.
So now, Jay, if you get two in a row right, you win one of those WNYC Eco Totes that we were just talking about in the fundraiser. We're giving some away for anybody who can answer two news quiz questions in a row correctly. So, Melissa, what you got for him?
Okay, so this one we're going to have a little clip from the president. President Obama gave a speech in May, and the speech began like this.
I am told that the last three speakers here have been the Pope, Her Majesty the Queen, and Nelson Mandela, which is either a very high bar or the beginning of a very funny joke.
So the question is?
The question is, what body of government was President Obama speaking to when he made his very funny joke?
I'm thinking it's my former employer, the United Nations.
Oh, nice try, Jay.
My other former employer.
I'd love to give you the eco tote just for the good WTF joke, but thank you for joining us, and Happy New Year. Let's see, Miriam on Staten Island.
Hey, Brian. Happy New Year. Happy everything.
Happy everything to you. Did you hear the question? Do you have an answer?
I did, and I was afraid I was going to get one of those hard. Can I get a multiple choice thing?
maybe, but not on this question.
Oh. where would he have been speaking? Because I thought the other guy was right with the UN.
We could have made it harder. We could have asked you to complete the joke in a way that gets a laugh from both me and Melissa.
Oh, I know what it was. I'll bet it was the that thing where they do the press conference. What is that? The journalists.
He was speaking to a news conference?
Not a news conference, but the...
You want to hear
press club dinner?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, right. Well, remember, so I'll give you a little bit here. Remember, he's saying the last three speakers
okay.
were the Pope, Her Majesty the Queen, and Nelson Mandela.
Oh, okay. So definitely not what I said. How about in Parliament in Great Britain?
That's
it. Hey.
And in fact, on that trip, Obama and the First Lady also toured Buckingham Palace's Queen's Gallery with the Queen. They met Prime Minister David Cameron, and they attended a state dinner at Buckingham Palace. As far as I know, neither the Pope nor Nelson Mandela were there. All right, Melissa, next question.
Very good. So another little sound for you here. This one, if you can remember, there was a moment during this past year when Donald Trump was going to run for president. So here's a clip from him on Good Morning America in April. Now, we've cut the end off of this clip, and you're going to have to finish Mr. Trump's sentence. So listen very carefully to what Mr. Trump says here.
I give up a lot if I run. I have a great company. I've done a great job, which if I run, you'll see what a great job, because I'll do a full disclosure of finances.
Including
and I will
tax
tell
returns?
You, we'll look at that. Maybe I'm going to do the tax returns when Obama does his.
So Mr. Trump says, maybe I'm going to do my tax returns when Obama does
his. Birth certificate. It has to be birth certificate.
Absolutely.
I love the music.
With the unlikely pairing of the British Parliament and birth certificate, Miriam wins an eco-tote. Congratulations.
Woo!
All right, we're going to put you on hold. We'll get your address.
Okay, happy and healthy, everybody.
Happy and healthy to you. All right, and we continue up the ladder here. Alice in the East Village. Hi, Alice. You're on WNYC.
Hi.
Oh, Alice, you may be our youngest contestant. How old are you?
I'm 20.
Oh, okay. So here is what do we have? Is this the Jon Stewart question?
This is the Jon Stewart question, which I don't know. Can we ask our youngest contestant this question?
I don't know. Let's maybe we'll come back to it. Let's do the Obama question.
That's what I was thinking. Let's go to the next one. So again, we're gonna have a little bit of sound for you here, and then I'm going to ask you what President Obama was speaking about in this sound clip.
And on behalf of a grateful nation, I'm proud to finally say these two words, and I know your families agree. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home.
All right, Alice, what was the president talking about there?
He was talking about the troops from Iraq. They're coming home.
Absolutely right.
You've got it. Absolutely. That welcome home was for the troops, and Pentagon officials say they have been asked to stage a big welcome home celebration for the veterans of this campaign of this war. You know, we think about the ticker tape parades of a bygone era, and these young men and women and family members who have been sacrificing for nearly a decade now have also. So many of us are asking that we make a public recognition of their efforts.
What do you think about that idea, Melissa? Because it's hard, you know, the Iraq war ended for the United States. It isn't over for the Iraqis. So it's not like the end of World War II where we come home and declare victory and Germany and Japan are vanquished. Does it make sense to hold the ticker tape parade just to honor the individuals? You like
you know,
it?
Well, I'm not sure that ticker tape is what feels right. It doesn't feel like the same kind of victory, as you point out, as we had after World War II. But I do feel like we have allowed such a small population of Americans to carry all of the weight and burden of this war, when people here on the home front have been asked to carry so little of the burden, that it does feel like some kind of public recognition of yes. those efforts is required.
Maybe we'll have a Brian Lehrer Show, Tulane University participation contest in the new year. What would be the right national ceremony for the Iraqi troops? What do you think? The returning American troops from Iraq. All right. After a debate, question 12 here. If you get this one right, you win. You win. You have two in a row right, and you will win a WNYC Eco Tote. So, Melissa, after a debate in September, what happened here?
Well, so after this September debate, Michelle Bachmann claimed that she'd met a mother of a son who suffered, quote, mental retardation after receiving a vaccine. And this language about the vaccine was a way of criticizing Texas Governor Rick Perry for mandating the vaccine for young girls. What is the vaccine for that Texas Governor Rick Perry at one point mandated for young girls? And I've got three options for you here. Measles, HPV, or flu?
It was the HPV vaccine, Gardasil.
And for extra credit, did you notice that Alice, as we were starting to play the flourish, even said the name of the HPV vaccine, Gardasil?
Absolutely. I do think that's extra credit. There's no doubt about that. That's pretty good.
So, Alice, you get a WNYC Eco Tote. Thanks a lot for playing. Hang on. We're going to get your address off the air, okay?
Thank you.
Great. Happy New Year. And we go next to Gabriel in New Canaan. Hi, Gabriel.
Hi.
Ready to take a news quiz question?
Yes. I guess I'm also your youngest contestant yet. I'm only 16, so.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So, Alice, poor Alice. I'm sorry I asked Alice, you know, because I guess she just sounds younger than she is. We do have kids calling up from time to time, and Alice isn't a kid. She's 20 years old, but I just heard her voice as sounding really young, so my apologies to Alice.
We also had that question that was going to make me blush, and I think we also can't do it for 16 either, so I think we should go right on here to question 13.
All right, go.
All right.
So this year, the Occupy Wall Street movement got us talking about income inequality in the U.S. So this is a relatively tough question, but I'm going to give you some multiple choice possibilities here. So according to the Economic Policy Institute, the top 1% of Americans by net worth own what percentage of the entire country's net worth? Is it 20%, 33%, or 50%?
Well, I guess I'm going to have to say 50%.
It was a good guess.
Oh.
It was the guess of the extreme, most outrageous possible answer, but it isn't right. Gabriel, thanks for trying. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And Beth in the Village, you're on WNYC. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Brian. Happy New Year.
Were you paying attention in 2011?
Well, we're going to find out.
Okay. Did you hear that question about...
I did hear that question, yeah.
The top 1% owns what percent of the nation's net worth? That's the top 1% by income.
Right.
Or by net worth, I'm sorry. The mm-hmm. top 1% by net worth own what percentage of the entire country's net worth? 20%, 33%, or 50%?
I think it's 33%.
And sure it is.
Yep, you'd be absolutely right. Now, I will say this, though, that we do have to remember that even within that 1%, there's a great deal of stratification. And in many ways, it's really just that top 0.1% that is driving it. So it's not just the 1%, but the 0.1%, the super, super wealthy that are driving that number where they own about a third of the country's entire net worth.
Okay, so one more, and you win a WNYC Eco Tote. Now, we're going to play a clip of Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. And here is the question to listen for. Why does Jon Stewart refer here to the male anatomy?
You know, I'm not certain about a lot of things. There are three things in this world that I do have certitude on. Empire Strikes Back is the best Star Wars movie. OJ killed those two people. And the third one is what my erect penis looks like in my own underwear. From a bird's eye view, of course.
So the question is, why did Jon Stewart refer to the male anatomy in that way?
Well, certitude was the clue. It was regarding Anthony Weiner's unfortunate texting.
Unfortunate texting with a flourish. Beth, you win a WNYC Eco Tote.
Well,
thanks a lot.
Thrilled. I have to say, I feel like kind of like I'm hogging because this is my second time being a news scholar.
Oh, was it last year or how long ago?
It was 2 years ago. It was the year that I even remember the questions. It was the year that Michael Jackson died.
Oh.
Because that was one of the questions.
Uh-huh.
And so you have had Michael Jackson's death and tweeting your wiener. Wow, that's pretty good.
That's it. Beth, thank you very much. Yes, Anthony Weiner could not say with certitude at the beginning of that incident that he actually took that picture or that was his. So, all right, Beth wins an Eco Tote. Let's go on to our next participant, and it is Paul in Brooklyn. Hi, Paul. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Brian. I'm a huge fan. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much. Were you paying attention, by the way, in 2011?
I think I was. I listen to your show as much as I can.
That qualifies as paying attention. Give this man an eco check. No, no, you have to. All right, Melissa, next question. I think it's 14, right?
Yeah, so now we're going to go and talk a bit about Occupy, the Occupy movement. So Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly was discussing an incident at an Occupy protest when she referred to something as a food product, essentially. To what was Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly referring?
And here's – oh, no, the clip is the answer. So let's see if you can get it before we play the clip.
It was that delicious condiment pepper spray, I believe.
That's right, the condiment pepper spray.
And
first of all, pepper spray, that just burns your eyes, right?
Right. I mean, it's like a derivative of actual pepper. It's a food product, essentially.
It's a food product, essentially, is what got her so much derision, mostly from progressive blogs. She did go on to say pepper spray is a serious thing. It can put people in the hospital, but people certainly latched on to it's a food product, essentially. And you got that one right. So question 15, Melissa.
Okay, so a little bit more Occupy here. So because of consumer pressure, much of it brought on by the Occupy movement, Bank of America, Fleet Bank and Wells Fargo banks backed off their plan to do what?
Add monthly fees to their accounts.
How much?
Oh, I think it was $15 for Bank of America.
Ooh, should we? Yeah, okay.
It's the holiday. I think we should.
Our panel of very wise men and women in the control room says, give it to him. He was close enough. It was a fee. It was actually a $5 surcharge just to have a debit card.
Okay.
That's right. Right. It wasn't even usage. It was just to have it would be a $5 surcharge. But David Barnell, the co-chief operating officer, said that that they'd listened to their customers very closely over the last few weeks, recognized the concern, and changed the proposed debit usage fee.
Paul, congratulations. You were paying attention in 2011.
Thanks a lot.
And we're going to put you on hold and get your address and send you a WNYC Eco Tote. And Melissa Harris-Perry, Tulane professor and MSNBC contributor. This was really, really fun. We got to chat a little around the questions. And you were a great quiz master. So thank you so much for doing this with us.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to be on with you, Brian.
Have a great 2012. We'll talk to you during the year. But our news quiz is not over, folks. Our 2011 end-of-year news quiz continues as we move from the national news and international news questions on to the local track next with our next guest quiz master, Pat Kiernan. That's right, that Pat Kiernan, the morning man from New York One. Stay with us.